Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
And Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Hello.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
Do we need to say hi to your peanut gallery?
No. He's leaving.
He's leaving. also, apparently here in the north, but not in Florida, it is beanie season, so we will be seeing Leah's mass collection of beanies on her head.
It's not a mass collection.
Leah.
I matched my beanie to my chucks today.
Nice. We did drop below 80 today.
So. You did?
Yeah.
It was 42 degrees, I think, when I walked to the bus stop this morning.
We have a frost warning, and I will know that when I had to chase Ollie earlier this morning, I could see my breath. So.
My grass has been crunchy regularly in the morning when we go to the bus stop.
I do love a crunchy grass season.
I mean.
Okay, so we are still continuing our October guest new tradition of our out of this world not reality picks. These are not contemporary, not even slightly.
Becky is not really a fan.
This is not Becky's comfort zone or safe place. No.
It's not.
It is, however, Amanda's.
It is. Yes. I'm very deep into the paranormal and fantasy right now.
Well,
it's not a bad place to be.
Earlier today, we were talking about something, and Amanda's like, I'm on to book four.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I started Sunday.
So
I will say they're shorter, like easy read. So they are an easy, it is going to be an easy series to binge. So if you like a good binge, like this is a series for you. Samantha Whiskey, like she writes a shorter book. It's a tighter book. You will get through it fairly easily.
Yeah, it is a quick read. It is. So on this episode, we are reviewing The Crimson Covenant by Samantha Whiskey. This is book one in the Onyx Assassins series. And this is a 5-book series, and then it's spinning off?
No, I think the current one out is like 9.
Oh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Almost like
this is a 9
way more than 5.
Okay.
Yeah, it just released today.
It's actually a pretty big series. It's a novella, so it's like a companion piece, I think.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Aaron's telling me
it's the hunter side, not like the vampire side.
Aaron is telling us it's 8.
Yes, Aaron is a big Samantha Whiskey fan.
I'm a huge Samantha Whiskey fan, and I'll be really honest, like I wasn't sure how this would read, if her voice would change because the genre is changing, and it really doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like it was a tight Samantha Whiskey story.
Yeah.
Yeah, because oftentimes when authors like hop genres or subgenres, like they definitely like have a different, or even when they hop like publishers, like the voice changes a lot.
Okay, who wants to tell us all the things? Because Heather is not here to raise her hand.
I can do it.
Oh, and she rose her hand. Okay.
Okay, so the subgenre is urban fantasy. The release date is December 5th, 2020. So it is a little bit older. The tropes are virgin heroine, vampires, demons, mafia-esque, but not really.
It reads like mafia. I'm telling you,
That's a Becky trope.
Secret it's not society. An actual trope. Would you call it secret society then?
It's more secret society. Yeah. Royalty / hierarchy, alpha male, class difference / species difference, and they are fated mates with an instant connection. It is part of the Onyx Assassins series. It is interconnected standalones because I do think that. Like I did not read, but Amanda can verify. But I think there is storylines that like interweave throughout the, like the whole series.
There is.
It is told in first person, dual point of view. The put out percentage is 33%. They are horny friends. Like once they start having sex, they have lots of sex.
I would say again, this is probably 60% sexy times and about 40% story times.
And so with that, though, I would argue that it is more paranormal than urban fantasy. Because urban fantasy leans a little less times.
I have to tell you why I said urban fantasy. It's romantic urban fantasy. Technically, within the publishing genre, vampires are classified under romantic urban fantasy.
Not paranormal.
And not paranormal in the scheme of publishing.
Okay. I mean, I get that, but I would say like,
it's because it is technically contemporary world. Like if you look at, say, Charlene Harris and her Sookie Sackhouse series, that is classified, even though it's all sorts of different creatures that you would think, oh, this is going to be paranormal. Yeah. Because it takes place in contemporary setting with humans, they consider it urban fantasy, romantic urban fantasy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I get that. I think, but what I was like, because I used to like question it, I was like, oh, is this or is this not? So I didn't know they had like a clear definition within publishing, but I always thought that if it was like in a current like setting and it had less romance, it was urban fantasy. So I guess that was where I was hung up.
I think it's a newer thing. They
clarified the definition like in the past couple years, just because more books of like this element have come out. So they've really defined the...
I think it goes into that romanticy versus, so I think instead of urban fantasy, we have to say romantic urban fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
What if they're in a rural setting?
Well, I think urban is supposed to be more like developed, Jenny. Holy crap. Oh, Pedantic God. Penny is live tonight on the podcast. Seriously. I put Sydney really in her room. I like... did not expect you to have to go to her room, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I say that I love these new covers also? Like, she is recovering most of her books, and I really am enjoying. I don't always like when authors recover, but I really like these new covers.
I liked the man covers.
I did, too, but I like these as well.
They fit.
They do.
They do. They fit so much. Anyway, so there's no audiobook as of now, and you can find it in Kindle Unlimited.
I do think the audio for this book one is coming this year.
I think it is.
She had an announcement.
Have a tendency to come out later.
I also didn't realize this book was from 2020. Like, this series has been around that long. I thought this was a newer series for her.
No, I think this is one of those series where like she writes this one when she like has a hankering to write this, because like she'll put out two or three contemporaries before she does anything with this series again.
And also, Amanda, how has this series been out since 2020 and you haven't read it yet?
Because there's a lot of books, Becky, and I need somebody to make me read them.
Have you read Samantha Whiskey before this, though?
I read a couple of her hockey books, but not a lot. So this was like my first like real binge. I think I read two in her original hockey, and then they were both. Then I like took a break.
They're okay. I really liked her billionaire game series that she did with the owners of the different sports teams. Those were really good. Lindsay and I think did those rabbit holes and really enjoyed them. And something she does really well, and not in this book, but in her contemporaries, her plus size rep is pretty spot on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she gets body types. I think we get an array. And I guess you do see it a little bit in this.
We get a vast variety of body types from her heroines, which I really appreciate. Like, not everybody is like this cookie cutter, like body types, personality types. Like, it's all she's very varied.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk Crimson Covenant. And I'm just going to get this out of the way. Just going to get it out of the way, and then we can move on. Y'all can talk about what you left. There was zero world building again.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a ton.
No, there's more sex than world.
Yeah, I mean, she's relying a little on, like, just general vampire lore, I think.
Which I appreciated. I could follow the vampire lore, and nobody sparkled. So it gets 10 out of 10 because nobody sparkled.
Well, and the fact that like they talk about like not being able to go out during the day, and it's like there was like those classic points to it.
Yeah.
And I think she did a good job of weaving like things into the story instead of telling us things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the hero first. Our hero's name is Alec. He is the king of all vampires.
Yeah.
He is a little bit of an alpha hole.
A little bit.
He is.
So.
He's about 400 years old, so I mean, he's kind of got a right to be.
At 400, you're allowed to be cranky.
And he's the most powerful supernatural in the world,
I mean, I
it
think I would be
appears.
cranky at
Yeah.
400. I mean, my goal in life is to be curmudgeon-y, so like,
You were that
yep.
last week, so you won. Game over for Leah. Okay, so what did we think of Alec and his friends? And is there a friend you are more invested in than the other friends? Because I do have a friend I'm a little more invested in.
I am very invested in Hawk. I really am
Yes.
intrigued by him and what his story is and why he is a little bit psycho.
You always
Yeah.
go for the psychos.
I
You like
like a
them.
psycho. It's like my catnip. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I liked the Covenant. Amanda, did you like the Covenant, the friend group that's why it felt like secret society mafia vibe, because it was found family tight, functioning together, have each other's back, definitely like a tight-knit brotherhood without brotherhood,
Yeah, I
right?
think that's what a big reason like I like a lot of the paranormal urban fantasy ones that I like because you generally get like a group, you know, if you have shifters, you have like a clan, a pack, you know, if you get witches, there's a coven, you know, you get this like secret society thing with the vampires. I tend to gravitate towards the ones that are like that because I do like the found family.
Yeah. And I think Alec's a fairly dynamic leader within this covenant, don't you feel?
Well, and he tends to lead with his emotions, but like tries not to lead with his emotions, which I thought was an interesting take.
Yeah. So, Jenny, he is not a typical hero for you.
No, he's not, but he is respectful
Yeah.
of the situation. So.
Did you end up liking him through the book, or were you like still irritated with him? I had moments of irritation with him.
Yeah, I did too. I think I liked Lyric enough to offset any dislike for him.
So let's talk about Lyric. Leah, how did you feel about Lyric as a heroine?
I actually really enjoyed her as a heroine. I had reservations going in because like she's like thrust into this world that she doesn't understand. And I was like, oh man, is she gonna become like the simpering, like too stupid to live idiot? But
Yeah.
she didn't. Like she was very confident. Like she stood up for herself, like maybe not as much as she could have at times, but at the same rate, like she was thrust like into this chaos, like without any choice, but she was quite strong in like her decisions and choices and like when like so like the whole like her getting turned part, like she was like, this is going to happen, like we are going to do it. And she would back off, but she still wouldn't let it go, which I thought was nice. 'Cause a lot of times like you'll come across a heroine who like they really want to do something, they're like, but if there's enough fight against it, they give up and they're like, well, that's fine. Like, we'll make this choice. But she didn't have that. Like, she was very decisive. Like, she was going to get her doctorate. She was going to like become a vampire. She was going to do this and going to do that. And she like really stuck to her guns throughout the whole story.
Well, I think she comes off, Amanda, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like she comes off as really strong because the sister was such a
The best
princess.
friend.
Or hit Alec's sister, right? Or her sister.
Oh, his
His
sister's?
sister, the princess.
Oh,
Yeah.
Gianna?
Yeah.
Aviana.
Aviana, whatever. I was close.
She was kind of, I didn't write her name down because I really would like to have yeeted her off of a cliff.
She gets better.
Are you lying to me?
No, I'm not, because her book, I'm
Yes.
almost
Yes,
to her
she's
book,
blind.
and she's
Takes
no.
the gloves off.
I'm on Benedict's book right now.
That's the one I'm most
And
interested in. Yeah.
she gets much like Aviana gets much better. She has more power than they know about.
Okay.
I thought so.
Because I
Yeah.
wanted to yeet her off a cliff a couple times.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Valor because I read your notes and I thought I was like, is she talking about Valor?
No, I'm
Okay.
talking about Alec's sister. I didn't write her name
Okay.
down because seriously, She was just so stereotypical, the princess. And obviously, she's playing a role, but I
Yeah.
found her distracting in the story.
I didn't mind it as much with that because I f like you, like she's coming home after basically being like sequestered purposefully. And so like I think it's more of a case for like she is playing a role and she is being who she's supposed to be, but that's not who she is at all. And so like her story is intriguing to me, but like I knew going into it like she's not what she seems to be. So she
No.
didn't bug me that much.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and I think she played a good role in this book because she was the like bridge to kind of like catch Lyric up, like get it
Yeah,
to
well,
move
because Alec
faster.
wouldn't do it, the dumbass.
So really the story has a lot of kind of good versus evil, but their version of good is really gray good. I found that very satisfying, especially someone that likes mafia and secret
Yeah.
societies. Did that gray good bother anybody with how the story flows and how what they do and killing the demons and
I think it wouldn't
no.
have been as genuine if it hadn't been in the gray.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Did Lyric's virginity bug anyone?
Yes.
Okay. No, I think that's fair. I figured it was going to be you or Jenny that was going to have an issue with it between the
Yeah,
two.
and only because, okay, like I mean, I don't know. I get annoyed sometimes. I just feel like it's a just something to put in there sometimes. And then also, I don't know. If I read too many in a row, I get annoyed. And I feel like I read like two right before this one that were the same. And the part that I think really bugs me is because like she has to be a virgin to be able to get with Alec. But then when you get to the other books, they don't have to be virgins. Like it's only to get with the king do you have to be a virgin.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay.
Well, it was only because she was a, well, they thought she was a seer, right?
Was
Like
it
it,
okay?
yeah, because she, that was like the loophole to that
Oh,
she
that's
didn't
right.
have,
Okay.
she didn't have to be handed over to the demons because she was still,
Yeah, I
and
got okay.
she's never
That's
told
right.
that. Like only he knows that, so
Yeah.
that's why he makes her wait.
Because they had to be married. It's like the whole married
Yep.
and virginity thing. I'm just like, okay. Like, I don't know why it
It's like
bothers
this.
me. It just
Well,
does.
and I think, but it's like this archaic piece
Yeah.
to it. But as like you're reading the book, like you realize like when like all this stuff was laid out, it is fairly archaic. So it's like
Yeah.
you figure
Like
like
super.
his parents have been dead for like a couple hundred
Yeah.
years, I think, with the way the book plays out. But it's like his dad was one of the people who like made some of these like choices. So it's like, yeah, it's really dumb, but it's like 200 years prior to when this book came out, things were very different.
Yeah, and it doesn't make or break how I feel about it. It's just one of those things
It
that
was just,
occasionally will annoy me, you know?
it just gave you a little bit of the ick.
Yeah.
But I think that's fair. I think that that is
Yeah.
fair that it was, the pacing of this story works really well. Like,
Yeah.
and it's funny because I don't think that this book was this book what, like maybe 75 pages less than the Zoe Draven book?
No, I think it was more than that.
Was it more than that? I just felt like this one read really fast. I think that they were as horny as the Zoe Draven book was. Like, people were doing business, getting things going.
But I think the reason that wasn't as bad because like they often talk about like the mating, like the mates themselves, like how like they are insatiable for each other, like for years and years. So it like it makes more sense in this one, the way that it's laid out.
And this one's relying more on like this is a current Earth like time. Like I feel like the setting is it didn't need as much world building. And like Jenny said, like she shows you like things that are part of this world without having to tell you a bunch of extra details, which I just don't think we just didn't even get the details in the Zoe Draven. Actually, they're pretty close. The Zoe
It's
Draven was
12
320.
pages shorter.
Yeah,
This is
320
12
versus
pages.
308.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
So,
just
not
felt
that
like
much.
this one read way much faster. And I was, is this my favorite
But
book? No.
I think part of it is her style of writing, though, too. Like, she just is a very concise author. So it's like she can say a lot in like a couple pages, where other authors, it takes like 4 or 5 pages to say the same thing. And it goes like, and that's just like her writing style. Like, she's a lot more like show than tell. And so it's like, and also like the way that the timeline goes through, like it's like 3 or 4 months. Like the
Yeah.
ch you figure the first like 6 chapters of the book, I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks, and it doesn't feel like 3 or 4 weeks, but like it feels like 3 or 4 weeks at the same time, just because of the way that she progresses the story and the characters and all that stuff.
Yeah, and she time jumps without you feeling like she time jumped,
I
I
think
think.
that's something Samantha Wiskey does really well because we see
Yeah.
that in her other books. She moves time very well. I think the other thing that's really great, and we talked about it a little bit already, but I feel like we need to go back to them. The d other dudes, the other vampires, the other people really help this book. We don't get a ton of background character development for Lyric. I feel like we could have gotten a little bit more for her. She needed built up a little bit more.
Yeah, I
It
feel like they
was
could have
fairly.
delved into her past a little more.
Yeah, a lot of it was fairly surface.
Well, I think part of that is like she doesn't know
Yeah.
where she came from either.
This is true.
But those guys, Lachlan and Benedict and
And Ransom.
Ransom, who is so funny
Yeah.
in this
His book
book.
is currently my favorite.
It is.
Yeah, it's fake dating.
Ooh, which book
Yeah.
is he?
He's book 3. He's with
Okay. Wait.
Olivia, the princess's guard.
Ooh.
How do we fake
She, I
date a
liked her.
vampire?
There's fake like tattoos, like fake mating. Like they get the witches to draw one on, like because they have to go to her family's estate, and her parents are very traditional vampires, and she lied to them. They don't know she's like in service to the princess. I think she's a lady in waiting. Like it's good. It's my
Ooh.
currently it's my favorite. Like I said, I'm on book 4. I'm like 20% into Benedict's book, but
And see, Benedict was the character that I was. He's the one that spoke to me the most in this book.
it's good so far. He's honestly, and I see that because he is the most mafia like. He wears the fancy suits. He's
That's why you
very
like him.
like, I would say out of
I
any of
mean,
those, he's the most mafia one.
I like a psycho. You like a
Yeah.
mafia
I
dude.
do.
And that would be a unique power to have, right? Like,
The
oh,
truth
just look at my,
telling.
yeah, look at my arm. Oh.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Is there anything in this book that you thought was outstanding that you were just like, oh my gosh, this is so good and done so right? For me, it was the found family, the brothers, the guys, like that. But I think if I look on like the Billionaire's Game series, it's that found family, those tight, close friends.
But she does that because even in her hockey series, like, yes, it's a team, but the connection that cr she creates between like these groups, like, it's really intricate in the way that she weaves like those like relationships and stuff. And I think that because even the relationship with Valor and Lyric, like, there are very different people, but they had such a really intense connection. I think that that's one thing which I'm really excited, because I'm going to read book 2, because I'm really excited for that, because those two are totally going to hate each other.
Oh yeah, it was good hate.
But like, that is the thing that she does really well, is like these really intense connections that you like, they come really alive off the page.
Yeah, and I can say that she does build the girl gang because you have Lyric and Valor, and so then Aviana and then Olivia become part of it, and then the witch's daughter, Jocelyn, like she's becomes part of it, and so I think she's building like also the girl gang, and then she's like, I don't know if she's going to offshoot. I think one of the books is a group of hunters that come into play, like in another one of the books. So, like older vampires that were like vampire hunters, they hunted their own kind. And then, like, I really want, I'm forgetting his name right now, but like, I want the demon. I want the demon's
Xavier.
book. Xavier, yes.
Well, and even like with the like there's like more witches and there's just so many character types that she create like and Luca like the lycan side of everything. I think like she could really just go anywhere with this world and it just really
Aaron really wants the Demon King in case anyone is
Aaron
wondering.
and I have been talking about this like the whole time I was reading, so
I do have to say I like how she the different species, and I felt like this was a more romantic, fluffier version of the Sookie Sackhouse series. Because you had demons, you had vampires, you had witches, you had a little bit of everything in this pot. But it was definitely, more fun. You had humor and fluff. It's been a minute since I've read Charlene Harris, but I felt like those were a little stodgy compared.
They're a little grittier too. They get a little, you know, you get a little more like
Well,
detailed
and the
of like
farther you
the.
get into it, it's a little more
Yeah, I think
harsh.
this is a really approachable like entry level series for, you know, urban fantasy, paranormal vampires, whatever you, because then I think you're getting, you know, eventually, like, I think you get some shifter and you get the witches and like the other stuff. So I like it when series do that, when you get the all different kinds of supernatural.
And the thing with like a lot of like urban fantasy and romanticism, like they're just such long stories. Like they're like huge sagas. And the nice thing about these is like you can come in and read 300 pages and then step away if you want to. Like you're not like drawn into this like 7 book, 3,000 page tome that like you like can't put down, but you're like stuck.
And I do have to agree with you, Amanda, as somebody who doesn't read a ton of paranormal out of this world books, and I tend to, if I'm going to read them, I tend to read the ridiculous ones like The Couch and A
The
Door,
Kool-Aid Man.
Kool-Aid Man. I tend to read those. This one was very palatable, but I will say it took me. It was I started it last night during Silent Book Club. I quickly put it down because I wanted to finish that Nissa Catherine book, which
Oh, yeah.
is Leah's
That's
fault.
really good. You're welcome.
And I picked it back up this morning after I got my work done, and I got through it very fast. But it's fluffy, it's light, but it is very much palatable vampires.
It's mac and cheese vampires.
It is.
It is. And maybe it doesn't need the world building then, because it is kind of so easy and fluffy.
But like I was telling you today when we were talking, like it's set in more of a modern scale. Like you don't need the world building because it's like basically like this vampire, like this covenant coalition essentially, like plucked into like real time. So it's like, because like they have smartphones, they have like everything is like contemporary, aside from the fact that they are vampires and lycans and demons and all that stuff. So it's like, I don't necessarily need the world building when there's that contemporary element to it.
And I do think this story had quite a bit of deception trope. I mean, there's secrets, there's lies, there's, falsehoods being shared. Did that bother anybody? Or because of the mystery shrouding them being vampires, it feels a little easier to handle?
I would say that's a question for Jenny. I'm waiting on Jenny to
No.
answer.
I think it's easier because they kind of discuss like they have this set of humans that knows they exist, and then like it's just better if the rest of us are unaware.
And he tells her
Just
pretty
for our own
quick.
safety. Yeah, like well, and he realizes like she can't see the glamour, so yeah. There's obviously something else going on there. So yeah, it didn't bother me. Because if there's a vampire in my life, like, yeah, I'd rather not know.
Just deceive me.
Just to see.
I want to be lied to. Lie to me.
But I think like when it's this style of book, like the deception and secrets and things like that is definitely more palatable than it is sometimes. Like deception, like a mafia book, doesn't bother me as much as it does in contemporary. Like I have a hard time sometimes with deception and like contemporary romance because it is more mainstream, for the lack of a better term. But like mafia doesn't always bother me, and like in fantasy paranormal, it rarely bothers me as long as it makes sense because of like the way that it plays out. Like if it doesn't make sense, then it bothers me. But I mean, if nothing makes sense, like it bothers me. It doesn't have to be deception.
Yeah, I'm much more lenient with my tropes in paranormal. Like, I don't care. Like, if it's, give me the 100-year age gap. Like, I'm, it's fine. Like, I'm
Amanda
much
has
more
no
lenient.
rules. Amanda has no rules,
I
no
don't.
triggers in paranormal.
But I'm very h much harder on contemporary because that's, that
Because
mimics
it's
real
like
life,
exactly like there's a whole different like mindset when you're in the fantasy like PNR world.
So there's a lot of action in this book, and I do like that we get some character development along with storyline development within the action, and I do think that that helps the pacing. There were a couple moments where I was like, oh, we're going to have another battle. Yay. I felt like it was battle, sex, battle, battle, sex, battle. I just, did the action, like, were you okay with the amount of action? Do you feel like there was overaction, not enough action?
There was a lot of near death, like
Right.
hanging on to the edge of life.
Yeah, that's typical.
Amanda's just like, seriously, you guys, this is just par for the course. We are 3 weeks in. Get over it.
I mean, no, I mean, if you don't read it a lot, I mean, it's definitely different. So, but yeah, I
Lots of
mean, I
people
don't mind it.
almost
I like
die.
it. I think it balances out, it lends another like thing to that whole otherworldly because, people aren't running around battling each other all the time. I think it just reinforces how otherworldly like these kinds of situations are.
I mean, there might be, just not where we live.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, we could have vampires in our life. Jenny just doesn't want to know.
Like the zombies, they can just eat me. Like
Yeah.
I'm not living
Yeah,
here.
I'm not putting up a fight. Sorry.
Okay, is there anything else within this book that you really feel like we should talk about?
I really liked that she was like, flat out said, "Are we gonna go all Twilight?" Because I thought she was pregnant. And I was like, "No, that's not cool." And she totally flipped it around. I thought that was very well done.
It was funny. I think that's Samantha Wiske. She likes those one-liners in her book like that. Like,
And
and
they're
she
well
does.
placed.
Yeah. And she calls herself out, like in her contemporary, she'll call her own self out in the books. So, which
I
I
appreciate
appreciate.
that.
Yeah. Because don't ever take yourself so seriously. Jeremy ripped in the zombie horde, Jenny. It's fine.
She knows
Apparently,
where I
she's dying with
stand.
our friends because everybody's letting the zombies have Adam. So.
I would not live well in a zombie-led world.
Good to know.
I don't have a lot of attributes that would be like helpful,
It's
so
the
just
lack of
don't have the energy.
electricity. It's the lack of electricity. Right?
I
I'm
can't
just, I
charge my
mean,
Kindle, like.
well, I at that point, like, I'll read my paperback.
But
I
how am I
got some
going to carry
snacks.
them all?
I'm not moving. Like, I am just locking the door and like waiting for them to come.
It is ironic to me how often in the past like 3 weeks I have talked about living through the zombie apocalypse.
I
That
mean,
time of year.
okay.
It is. This is true.
I just, I'm not in the best of shape. So if we have to trek far places, I'm just gonna stay here.
You could just like attach a sled to Ollie and
We could. I don't know. That
Ollie
dog.
could pull the sled. Yeah.
He's very cute, but I'm starting to wonder how many brain cells actually connect inside that head. I spend a lot of time going, are there thoughts in there, buddy?
I mean, there might be big thoughts, just,
He's
ooh,
very
there's a
food
squirrel.
motivated. So if we have treats,
I mean,
I was making oatmeal this morning with blueberries and bananas, and he is literally like trying to, his head is on the counter, and I'm moving him back, and I'm like, I'm cutting my banana, and he's like right in it. Then I give him a piece of
because he really
banana.
wanted some banana.
He just spits it out and makes a mess on the floor. It's fine. I love him. Okay, anything else in Crimson Covenant that we need to talk about? Okay.
I think we've covered it all.
And I'll just be very clear that I am probably now going to have to go read Benedict's book because I licked him in this book. So if I have to have a zombie vampire or whatever he is mine.
Truth-telling
Vampire.
vampire.
He's like the lie detector.
Right. He
He
is.
is the
Yeah.
lie detector
And
vampire.
he's fancy. And I like a
He
fancy
is
man.
fancy.
He is fancy.
I like a fancy guy.
I think it's funny when she's like, my eyes are brown, and his arm changes and they all get pissed off.
I really
It's
want
the
his
little
book.
things.
So, okay, let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. And then if anybody has any books, we can go to that. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Really?
Yeah, I started reading book two, and then I realized that I need to read the book club book before Saturday.
Right.
And
I have the audio. I'm doing the audio tomorrow. Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
thumbs up for me.
I think this is a thumbs up for me. It's a hesitant thumbs up because I do not want anyone to think I'm going to start reading vampire books on the regular. Like,
You can still give it a thumbs up even if you're
yeah.
not going to read them
I just
regularly.
don't want to
And
give
you're
anyone
interested
false
enough to
hope.
be hesitantly.
Yeah. And you're interested enough to read another one,
I am.
possibly.
I am.
So.
But I do think it comes down to I'm familiar with Samantha Wiskie's writing. I like
Yeah.
her writing, and I think that that helps.
I think it definitely helps.
Okay, so if people really liked this book or they would like to dive into more vampires, one of the suggestions that I kept seeing was the Black Brotherhood
Black
dagger.
Dagger Brotherhood
Yeah,
by J.R.
Black.
Ward.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I haven't read those books, but all I keep thinking of is the green shirts, Jenny.
I know.
Would you like a
Like,
bookmark?
I got.
Nope. I think you all are vampires. We went to the J.R. Ward signing down in Louisville last
Yeah.
year, and her fans are devout.
Yeah.
They are very
And
devout.
this is like that's the other series. It's very secret brotherhood, brotherhood's in the name, so you're definitely getting a lot of that. I will say that that series is a little grittier. It's a little, there's a little, the consent is dubious in some of those earlier books.
Okay.
And some of those early books are they're a lot more of their time because those are older books. So just check yourself before you get into those.
I know that Merritt loves them and
Yeah.
is currently obsessed with the casting updates we're getting for
Yes.
the Passion Flicks series that is coming.
Yeah.
So, what other
There's a
books?
lot of those, right?
There's like
Yeah.
25 of them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a
I would
lot.
also say The Immortals After Dark by Cressley Cole,
Okay.
which is another, that's an older series too. So you're gonna get into a little more like, kind of like maybe like an reminds you more of a bodice ripper style book. But those are very good too. You're getting a mix of supernaturals in that. And there's a the first one is like The Warlord Once Forever, and that's more of a novella. So you can kind of, it's in KU and you could check it out to see if you like that style of writing. But he's also like a very powerful like vampire lord. She's a Valkyrie. So those are pretty similar, I would think, but more along the lines of like Black Dagger Brotherhood. And then if you like the additional powers like that they have, like the fact that they all have like some kind of, something or other, like the lie detector, I would say the Elemental Mysteries by Elizabeth Hunter. those are mostly vampires, and they all have like different powers that are tied to like the elements. So like fire, water, wind.
Okay.
Those are really good. She's got a lot of story interwoven. There may be a little less sexy times in those, but they're really good. The first one's a hidden fire, so I like those.
Have you read the Jacinda Wilder vampire books?
I have not.
Okay. I know they have a vampire series out. I have not read it yet. I think.
Is that the Why Choose?
No.
Yes.
Is it? I didn't
Yes.
think it was. I thought that was a different one.
No,
I think I have it.
it's the blood or
Maybe
something.
it is the Why Choose. I was thinking a different one.
Hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
Rowan Hart, if you like the
Oh yeah.
mafia vibe of your vampire books, Rowan Hart has the Nightshade Vampires. Lindsay is the one who has raved about the series. I really enjoy it. They have the demons and it's the humans mating with the vampires, so it's like that division of species. But it's a really well done series. It's a little bit darker, so I mean that's something to think about. An 80 award, also known
Yeah.
as Emmy Award, has a vampire series. They're a little lighter, because it's Amy. But
They're
those
fun.
ones, yeah, they're a fun read. Honestly, anything that she writes is a fun read. So, but it is the Vampires Crave Curves series because all of her heroines are real bodied.
It's the blood air series by Jacinda Wilder, and it is Why Choose. And that Quicksilver, have you read that yet by Callie Hart?
Oh, is that one Vampire?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I thought that was Fae for some reason.
Fae
No, I
and
have not read it.
Alchemy and
I think it's a
Vampires.
mix, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting like crazy reviews, and it came out as an indie published book and then Forever bought it.
They bought
Yeah,
it
it looks
fairly
really
quickly
good.
after it released, didn't
Less
they?
than 2 days
Yeah.
they
Well,
had it bought.
and then I would say like they don't call them vampires, they call them something else, but I'm very like obsessed with the From Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Like it's much more fantasy. They are very vampire like. There's a lot of world building. I'm like in that one pretty deep so far. So.
Yeah, and I would say that does Juliet Cross in her series have vampires?
Oh yeah, two of them.
Reuben is
Oh
a
yeah.
vampire,
Reuben
right?
and Dev are
But I would
both.
say,
Yeah.
like, as far as lightness and pacing a
Yeah.
story, I feel like this Samantha Whiskey series falls into that same kind of pacing vibe that we got
Yeah.
in the Juliet Cross series. And I've read the Katie Robert, like the Vampire Queen ones. Those are super dark.
Oh, or they haven't read
Yeah,
those.
but they're pretty good. I mean, they're Katie.
I like her. I love her. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Cynthia Eden has some vampire books also.
And aren't they like a
She has
security
vampires.
force? Vampires, like.
No, not those ones. It's more well, I think she has a couple different ones. Like there's some of her older books, and then Lonnie Lynn Bale actually has a vampire book also. It's called Suck This. It's very good. It's humorous. You should just read it.
Just read it.
That's funny.
Okay. Make sure you join us Sunday. I think that it's just me, Jenny, and Lindsay on Sunday. Amanda, are you coming Sunday?
No, we have friends coming into town. Well,
Okay.
actually, they're here now, but yeah.
It's our Inside Baseball Romance
So
episode.
basically, it's Lindsay
Yeah.
talking with Jenny and Becky holding her back.
Yeah.
Lindsay has the only two baseball series that I've read and recommend, so she's gonna have me covered.
So we are gearing up for the World Series, and so we will be doing all the baseball romances this coming Sunday, and then we are back next Wednesday to chat about our buzzing book club selection, Wedded to the Alien Warlord by January Bell. And I'm sure that it's aliens and I'll love it. I'm sure. I love it. I don't know.
It'll be
She's
fun.
very sweet. I sent my drink recommendations because if you're part of book club, I send a reminder email at the beginning of the book club week with drink recommendations. And she was like, oh my God, these are so great. These are such great drink recs. I can't wait for this. And I'm like, okay, well, I hope everybody book club brings their A game because authors.
I'll be there.
Authors are excited about it. So,
mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. That's it for this episode. Okie dokie. Earlier today, I was on a call, like a business call, and I said, easy peasy.
They've been
squeezy. Yeah, I know, right?
I'm like, oh, goodness. I need to get out. Anyway, I'm going to say it again. Okie dokie. That's it for this episode of Crimson Covenant by Samantha Whiskey. You can find some of the books we recommended over on our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Thank you, everybody, for joining me this evening.
Thanks for having us.
It's always a good time.
Until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.